Okay, I'll go through the instructions one more time and then we'll get started. You should have received an email about an hour ago with instructions on how to log into the notes for today's conference. If you didn't receive that email, you can email me directly at administrator@marketingexperiments.com, and I'll make sure that that email gets sent to you. Or you can simply point your web browser to mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. Again, the URL for our notes today is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be our primary speaker for today's conference. Dr. McLaughlin.
Okay, Brian, why don't you begin by going over the upcoming web conferences that we have over the next 3 or 4 weeks, just to kind of let people know what they can be expecting.
Okay. Sure. The next two web conferences that we have scheduled are Wednesday, August 25th at 4 p.m. EST, and that's our rescheduled long copy versus short copy clinic. The second clinic is Wednesday, September 8th at 4 p.m. also, okay. And that's the effective use of dynamic web pages. If you like to participate.
Can I explain that one to them just slightly, if you would, Brian? On the
sure. Dynamic web pages normally aren't indexed very well by spiders and basically crawling search engines. So we've devised a solution on how to allow those search engines to effectively spider websites.
Excellent. I think we need to change the title of that, Brian.
Yeah,
so
that might help.
Ongoing.
If you'd like to participate in either of those clinics, though, you can email me at administrator@marketingexperiments.com, and I'll get a seat reserved for you. The next four.
Hi, you guys.
The next two briefs that we have scheduled are testing eBay's new pay-per-click service, and then our long copy versus short copy brief, and our dynamic web pages brief, which are also the clinics. And then we'll be testing Easy in Advertising in September as well.
Am I supposed to know what you just said?
go over instructions once more for everyone, if you would,
sure.
Ryan.
Hi, this is Dale. I'm here.
Right.
Hello, Dale. Hello, Dale. We have a whole national audience on right now, and we're starting a conference, and Brian's going to go over the instructions with everybody just one more time before we begin.
Okay.
Sorry.
If you didn't receive the email that was sent out about an hour ago, you can email me at administrator@marketingexperiments.com, and I'll make sure that gets sent out to you. Or you can simply point your web browser to mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And we'll ask you to refresh that page a few times throughout the conference as we add some tables and other data and notes.
Okay, so let's begin, and we'll be referencing those notes that you have. I want to welcome you to the conference once again, and Brian has gone over the schedule of the upcoming events. I'm going to wade right into the primary report, but before I do that, I want to, because we're getting close, I want to kind of extend a special invitation again to those of you who have not booked yet for the 2004 Conversion Ratio Optimization Conference that we're having in at Universal Studios in Orlando in September 16th and 17th this year, this coming fall. It's going to be rather soon. The conference is going to be limited to a small group of attendees. There's only a 5-to-1 ratio, meaning that for every five people who attend, we're going to have one research expert or speaker. So it will be very, very interactive. We're going to look at optimizing specific areas in your site, optimizing your campaigns, optimizing your email, and we're going to be bringing in Craig Calder from the New York Times, who we worked with to optimize their subscription campaign, and he had pretty well set record results, and he can describe how that happened. Andrew Borland, who founded ClickZ, which he sold to Internet.com. Some of you are familiar with that. It's public knowledge that he sold it for $16 million to them. And Andrew is working with us, and he's going to be at the conference and speaking also. And a number of other key people. The president of the SQL Server Worldwide Users Group, Stephen Weinkoop, is going to be there. And Stephen's going to talk about how he built the largest community on the Internet in his industry and the tests and experiments that we did with them. So both retailers and publishers and people with subscription sites or people who are selling products should be able to benefit from kind of a different approach. You'll have individual tables on the Thursday night dinner that we have, and we're paying for that dinner out of the, you know, it's all included, including your hotel room and the conference fee. That Thursday night dinner, you'll be able to select which table you want to sit at. There'll only be 5 to 7 people at each table, and you'll be able to pick one of these speakers and reserve, you know, your seat at their table so you can get to know them and query them and so on. So that conference is coming up in September. You need to register rather soon if you're going to make it in, and I'll invite you to do that. Having said that, I want to get started by moving right into our topic this afternoon, which is the configurator, how to use a configurator, how we were able to achieve an 11.74% conversion ratio through the primary order path as it went through this configurator system that we're going to be discussing with you. We'll be releasing a recording of this conference, and we'll be releasing the actual report within the next 7 days. And so you'll be able to, if you miss something or we move too fast through some material, you'll be able to listen to this conference, and or you'll be able to review the actual report from the experimentation. So what is a configurator? How does it work? What are the benefits of using a configurator? How can a configurator contribute to increased conversion on your retail site? And on what kind of sites is a configurator useful? And most of all, what's the best way to set one up? We're going to be looking at those questions, and we'll begin with the first one. What is a configurator? And it is essentially a step-by-step process on a website that allows prospects to find exactly what they are looking for in the shortest amount of time and with minimal effort. The configurator process usually works by allowing the customer to define in a series of steps the various qualities of the product that he or she is looking for, and then the configurator drills down in specificity until the customer has a short list of the most likely products. As an example, you know, a customer is looking for a new car, but there are 27,450 possible cars to choose from. Step one of the configurator would be to select a manufacturer. Step two is to select a model. Step three is to select a color. In just 3 steps, the customer is able to find exactly what he's looking for out of 27,450 products. Or, instead of selecting manufacturer, model, or color, he might be selecting some specific performance and or safety features that would allow him, again, to drill down to the list of those which would perhaps meet the requirements that he has set out for himself. Now, that's an oversimplification of a process, and I'm going to be dealing shortly with how critical this configurator can be to winning a success for you. So bear with me as we'll show you how one site is actually doing millions and millions of dollars through the configurator that we design with them. But let me drill down to what are the benefits of using a configurator. First of all, many sites with a large amount of products or product options do not present their products in a manner that feels easy for visitors to understand or to order. And using a simple 3-step procedure similar to the example above reduces anxiety that may arise in a customer who must browse through thousands of potential products. It also reduces the inconvenience factor, and that's an ergonomic advantage that will translate into high conversion. It also reduces the amount of time. All 3 of those things add up to make those customers who find and use a configurator generally much more satisfied. They also are much more likely to get the product that they really need. One of the advantages of a configurator is it actually can reduce the hardship on customer service. To find the right product, how many clicks would a visitor have to make in a site featuring 20,000? A well-designed configurator can reduce multiple misguided clicks or searches into a few simple selections. It also can help you glean or gather information in your nav structure that you could never, ever know typically. By monitoring the configurator closely, you can find out what the majority of your customers are thinking as they come into your site. If you sell technical products, how do your customers know which parts are right for their needs? The well-designed configurator can handle these compatibility issues as well. Most significantly for a website owner, a configurator can contribute to a greatly increased conversion ratio on certain kinds of sites. So how, and I'm at a third question, how can a configurator contribute to increased conversion? How could it improve your conversion ratio? Our test scores converted a catalog of over 20,000 computer-related products into a simple 3-step process from landing page to basket. Think of that, just 3 steps from landing page to basket. And this was a product with technical specs. that required more or less a very specific precision order. Not only does this configurator drastically reduce the amount of time and effort a customer needs to find a suitable product, but it guarantees that the product will work for their customer. So here's the test results. Brian, go ahead and refresh that. Brian is now placing on your notes page a chart that we're going to review together. But before you do that, Brian, just announce for anyone that might not have heard or that might have come in late how to see the notes that you have right now and what to do if they don't have their notes open.
Okay. The URL is mecgroups.com/mec_research_log. If you're already on that page, you can just refresh it, and you should see a table now with six columns.
And if you have any difficulty with that URL or you're not seeing what you need to, just email administrator, or is it support, Brian?
Administrator.
administrator@marketingexperiments.com, and Brian will send you a link directly. Now, you should be looking at a table, and you're going to notice the impressions on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, impressions, clicks, and orders. And you'll see the conversion ratio. And the column to the far right is configurator conversion. The column to the left is the overall conversion on the site. So if you'll notice, configurator conversion in this table approaches 13.58% on Wednesday. And the average, if you work all the way down, is 11.74%. Now, those of you that are in the retail or publishing business that have subscriptions, whatever offering you have in the net, know that this is a staggeringly high conversion ratio. What you need to understand is over a five-day period, our test site was able to generate 404 sales at an overall site conversion of 3.61%. Once a visitor clicked through to the main configurator path, this conversion rate jumped to 11.74%. Now, that's a key that I want to take a moment to stress, because it's not just that the configurator had a high conversion ratio, but what we really determined was that customers who were coming to the normal nav on the site, converting at under 3%, under 2% most likely, whereas partners who came in and went into the configurator were converting at 11+%. Now, if you were a website owner, and I'm asking this question, somebody go ahead, feel free to jump in with an answer, and you had that piece of information, what would you do with your website? What change would you make? Somebody hazard me an answer. The key, guys, is this.
I would set up a configurator on my landing page.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You'd set it up on your landing page. You'd place it squarely in the iPath, and you'd emphasize it using five elements: color, size, motion, shape, or position. Position is where it's on the page. Color obviously creates and grabs your eyes. Size and shape, these elements, and movement, that's the other element. Any one of those or any combination of those that gets this to be dominant. Let me tell you what we did. We moved nav, and we broke every rule. We broke every rule that you would follow in good website design normally. Good nav needs to be first in the iPath, because nav is, you're there to navigate through a site, and many people bury it at the top or the bottom or in different ways that create difficulties. But the best nav is typically a combination of all three: dominant on the left, something on the top, and everything on the bottom, in simple text links. And most of our testing, that's what works. My point for you would be that we de-emphasized the nav. We didn't eliminate it totally, because we felt like people might not feel the site was credible if it didn't have navigation except for two or three links. So we took nav and we de-emphasized it by moving it into the right, putting testimonials in a different location that emphasized it, replacing it, placing the configurator in a very, very conspicuous place in the center of the iPath. That is because we knew that the more people we could drive into the configurator, the more sales we could drive. Now, we continue to refine. We continue to test. And this morning, it's not in this report because we haven't gathered the data and written it up yet. But this morning, I was informed that navigation and that the configurator now is converting at nearly 20%. and which is incredible. Now, that's not overall site. That's configurator. How do you get that? Overall site is still 3.61%, which is phenomenal. But how can we get that 3.61% up? By getting more people in the configurator, because obviously the more people we drive into the configurator, the more sales they're going to get. So the key point is, once the site visitors click through the configurator path, the conversion ratio has increased dramatically, nearly 12%, now over that. And our recommendation would be to put even more landing page emphasis on the configurator, as the more visitors that we can get into this path, the more of them will theoretically convert at the higher rate. And I say theoretically because it may be that some of those it'll drive down. You might argue that people going into configurator are more serious. But that argument won't hold up because we've had 2 or 3 months now to review the data, and the reality is that people are going into configurator just finding what they need really fast.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Is the conversion ratio of the configurator visitors also included in the overall site visitors?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes.
So the 11% conversion of the configurator visitors is contributing to the 3.61.
Precisely, and it's a good point. If I'm recognizing your voice, is this Doug?
Yes.
Okay, so the answer is correct, Doug. If you took the configurator conversion out of there, you'd see a significant drop in the overall site conversion. Because the configurator, that number is up at the 3.61 percentile.
Thank you.
So, smart question, and feel free to ask me others as we proceed. But some of you here may not find that, depending on who's on this phone, not everyone can use a configurator, but here's what I'd like to point out. More of you can than you realize, and more of you could experience a significant increase in revenue. This site has revised its annual projections upward. I don't want to tell you what their total numbers are in case someone ever put together who this might be. I don't think anyone here can. But the point I want to protect their confidentiality and completely. But they've become one of the most dominant people on the internet in their category, and it was just started as a family company. And the configurator is one of the things that contributes to that. They're smart merchants. So the real issue here is, on what kinds of sites is a configurator useful? I think that's probably what would be on my mind if I were in your shoes, and I'd like to begin to try to answer that for you. Okay. Any site that can be organized, this is number one, into logical groups of information to help refine the selections from which a customer can choose is a good candidate. So categories, groups of information, logical selections. Number two, any site with an unusually large number of products, which makes it difficult to find a given product using a simple search or category system. Number three, any site in which you can help to automate the order process for the customer while improving the chances that they will find the product that they need with its individual specifications. And any site whose product presents a potential compatibility issue or requires customization of any type. So what is the best way? I mean, if that is the types of sites that can benefit from a configurator, then what is the best way to set up a configurator? Now, by the way, and this is not part of my report, but please bear in mind that this is a relatively new experiment that we've been working on this calendar year over the last several months, and we are still refining new and creative ways to make this configurator produce. You know, you can use a set of email responses that go to someone who stops midway through the configurator, and you've already collected partial data. And you may be able to collect email addresses during the process for the sake of customer service and respond to this person with additional information and get them back into the configurator and save orders very early in the process. There's a lot of things you can do to continue to improve conversion. Let's go on. What is the best way to set up a configurator? Now we're going to get visual because I know that I've been talking hypothetically here. We're going to look at a very attractive configurator that doesn't work well. And then we're going to talk about some of the keys to getting a configurator that works properly, and then we're going to show you some examples. Jimmy, I'm going to have you help us a bit as we talk at this first configurator that we're going to look at. Now, I'm going to show you one that is in the process. It's run by a very smart group who's spent a lot of money, millions of dollars in setting this up. You don't have to spend millions. You don't have to spend tens of thousands to do this. but in their case, they're a large international company. And what we're going to do is look at their configurator, and that's going to be what link number, if you could tell me that. We're going to Opoto. Brian, what link number do they need to
that's
go to?
That's link number 3 in the notes.
That is link number 3, so we're going to go there. All right, so make a note. And make this. All right, so what I'd like you to do is if you can go to that site at opoto.com. And I'm going there myself. You're going to see a site which we've been studying at length, and it's a good example of a configurator that would really please the designers and everyone involved, but lose lots of sales. And I don't say this to be hard on this company. They're smart, and they're changing it right now. And but let's look at it together. And first of all, if you're on that page, you're going to notice to the left is a flight search configurator designed to help you find the flight you need. A note in general, if you go through this entire process, it takes 9 pages to book a flight. And it requests information that could be moved to a point after you've received the credit card and actually got the flight itself. And in addition to that, it has a significant area where, and you might think of this, any of you, that in terms of your site timeout. Jimmy, just for a moment, explain to them the danger of the extended the session timeout length.
The site has a 20-minute session timeout. And for many sites, especially retailers, this would be plenty of time to complete an order. One of the difficulties is that because their flight booking process is 9 steps and it requires a lot of information entry, personal information, additional people on the flights, just a lot of booking information that it extends the length of the regular time it would take to complete the process. So in our test when we were going through the process, it took, I think, 4 attempts to get through the process within 20 minutes. The first time we tried to go through the whole thing and book a flight. And the barrier there is that when the session times out, you have to start all over from scratch. So you might be 8 steps into it, you don't complete the flight, your 20 minutes is up, and you start all over from page 1. So basically the frustration there and the usability, the decreased usability, will severely hurt your conversion through the process. So that's just a real quick note on session times if you use session as a site.
And I'm being very careful about what I share because I want to be respectful with these people and share only enough that would be appropriate. But may I say this? Reducing the size of the flight search boxes is the first job on the first page because here's what happens. You make no revenue until someone clicks through. So the goal of this box is to get a click-through. There's information being requested here, and we've generated 3 different versions of this search box, all of them shorter than what they are right now, requesting less information to get you right through the process and in immediately to the next key phase, which are the search results. And once you get through to the search results page, then typically you're looking at, you know, page after page of results. We've organized that into the top 5. And I could go on and say more, and you might going to go through and look at the process and see this because we're only going to dwell here for a few moments. But the point would be that the key is to get the most for the least. And that means get the person coming to the configurator needs to get the right amount of information, and they need to get it for the least amount of effort on their part. And on your sake, you want to require the least amount of information necessary in order to get them the furthest through the process. And so you may look at this. There's a sample configurator. We're not in the travel industry. I don't think most of us here. And so we won't dwell on this page, but there's an example of a configurator that has an involved, intricate, carefully programmed, extremely expensive process, designed attractively, and is failing. Now, mind you, they're booking flights in it. But they're losing, and not only they're losing, but you know they don't have the metrics in place to know where they're losing them at and how many they're losing. So Again, they're correcting that, and they're smart people, but let's move on, and let's look at some of the keys to getting a configurator that will work properly, and then let's look at some that are working, okay? Step number one, group your products into their primary categories, and brands, features, colors, sizes, etc. You can do this offline, but you need to do this intelligently, and you may use a spreadsheet to achieve that, but you got to, first of all, get your groups broken down. Secondly, see if using those groups you can organize the products that customers would only have to make not more than 2 to 3 choices to find what they are looking for. So once you get them broken down, and I'm talking about not on the web, not on HTML, I'm talking about on spreadsheets or on file cards or whatever you can do in order to clearly simplify the process. Keep working with the process offline, on paper, until you can get it reduced to the least amount of steps, which in your case might be the least amount of screens. And if you can combine 2 steps on the same page, wonderful. But if there's a data submission requirement to get to the next step, you're probably going to have to go to another page. Get as few of those pages as possible. Use drop-down lists, number 3, JavaScript menu, or HTML links, if there are only a few choices, to organize the information into a logical path. Once you've done that, move to step 4, and this is very useful also. Add a sense of sequential structure to the pages. What I mean by that is tell them they're on step 1 of 3, step 2 of 3, step 3 of 3. Help them anticipate what this is going to be. The only reason you wouldn't want them to anticipate how long it's going to be is if it's going to be long. And if it's going to be long, it's probably wrong. So indeed, you want to reduce the amount of that. And I even tell them in some configurator, I mean, even if you go to MEC to start our order process over there, by the way, we have completely redesigned the membership section, and it's on a different server beta testing right now, and it needs to be upgraded for you guys because the content has grown so rapidly that we constantly have to upgrade it to make it easy for you to navigate. But if you go through a typical order process, we tell you it's going to take you, on average, 74 seconds. How do we get that number? We ran time tests through the site. It's not that hard to do. You can do it in your office with 3 people that have never ordered before. I'm not trying to tell you our process is that informal, but yours doesn't have to be that formal. Tell them average order time, 2.6 minutes, 3 steps. You're on step 2. Let them see that so that they can anticipate, move through it, and you can eliminate the inconvenience and the unknown, which keeps them from going forward. Let's look at, is it link number 4, the Belkin product? What link is it, Brian?
Yes, it's link number 4.
So let's go to link number 4 in your notes. Jimmy, I'll let you explain this one.
Yeah, these Belkin has actually a series of these configurators. They actually call them wizards, and that could be another description of a configurator, calling it a wizard. If you want to go through a real quick example, once you get to that homepage for the wizards, click on the second one down on the left-hand side. It is a cable wizard, and these are very, very good, and the reason is they're very visual. As well as not listing the features, they actually do a visual configuration. So if you click on the cable wizard, you will go to their page, and you select the device you're looking for a cable for, and let's say, for example, let's just choose printer right there on the top. Then it actually has... You select which connector is on each end of the printer from your computer to the actual printer. And if you just choose the top 2, Centronics 36F and Centronics 36F, for example, and then go to the bottom, click on Submit, you're presented with 2 options that will fit your specific needs. If you click on the link there, it takes you right to how much it costs, and you can actually buy from a reseller or buy directly from Belkin. And like I said, that one is very good. It's very short and simple. And Belkin actually has, I think, over 6,000 different cables. So you could have tried to navigate their site and go to the cable section and go to printers and then, you know, look through a whole bunch of links. Or you could just simply go to one of their wizards, make a couple clicks here and there, and you found, you know, even with visual verification, exactly which cable that you would need for your printer or your computer.
Is this one of your clients?
No.
No.
They're one of our clients.
We have partners that we could show you, but we don't want to show you because they're afraid of competitive advantage, and we're being gracious to keep their configurator designs relatively secret. You know.
We would appreciate that too.
Yeah. And so I'd love to show you what we've built and worked with in them, because it's phenomenal in terms of its results, but it wouldn't be fair to them. I would like to back up to the Cable Wizard, the first page where it says select device below. So we're at the Belkin Cable Wizard. And if you look at that, I'm at the very, you know, when you click on Belkin Cable Wizard and that first page came up, it says select the device, monitor, keyboard. If you're on that one, please tell me, how would you improve, because this page could be improved. Anybody have any ideas what could be done to improve this page?
Pictures.
Pictures? That's a good point.
Brief explanation of what these things are, because some people are not as technical.
Yes, I think that's, I'll tell you what, the problem that I think they have here, and I'm talking primarily visually, they're using they didn't mean to do this, but they're using three columns to communicate one column's worth of information. And the arrow at the point, at the top, that goes left to right, since it is not an artwork arrow that matches the vector graphics art, that's probably vector art on the right and on the left, it actually stops you at a moment at the top trying to figure out what this means. I would have actually drawn a cable connecting those two devices, and I wouldn't have split the screen in the middle like this. I'd have used that drawing by simply drawing a cable from the two devices and bringing them closer together and putting them on the left in the iPad and then driving them right down to a simple explanation to select the device below. Instead of doing it the way they've done it now, it's evenly weighted. The page is evenly weighted, which is a mistake because I don't know what to look at first, second, or third on this page, and it's confusing because the core content is stuck between a sentence, basically, connect any device to your computer. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
It does, but, you know, you could also, I mean, the whole point is, what devices are we trying to connect? Are we trying to connect our camera to a computer? Are we trying to connect a printer to our computer? What are we trying to connect to our computers? So he would have been better off using the pictures to let us draw a cable between the two devices and then gone to that next step of configurator.
I think, and
I'm
also
trying to connect my Nikon camera to my computer, I may not know that I need a FireWire.
I think that you're absolutely right, as long as he could minimize the confusion from having many items. But I totally agree with that, and I'll go a step further, and we'll move on. But the other thing that I would think when you look at this is it might be better to ask a question here and then have them select. It's often better to use a configurator to ask a question, the question that's in the mind of the consumer, and then use your... Down here where it says select device below, the click on that gets you through, and there's some argument that, you know, that you tell them what to do it's a good thing. But I don't understand that select device below is an answer to the question, what are you trying to connect to? So what we needed is a question at the top of this page, and then these answers down here, and then make, you know, that clickable or tell someone to click on what they're trying to click to. But the question is not clear, and the page is split, and it's presented in three columns, and, you know, it works. It's way better than the alternatives, but it could be improved. So let's back out, and let's go look at one more. It's the memory.shopper.com, and it's link number, Brian?
That's link number 5.
Okay. So I'm there. Jimmy, take over, buddy.
If you go to that link, this is the one. CNET actually provides content, and they actually provide this exact configurator. If you were to go to that link, click on, let's go to cameras, the top left link. And then it says select your camera manufacturer. Let's go to Nikon. And then it says select the model. Let's go with the Coolpix 900. And when you go there, it says we currently do not have any compatible memory modules available. So this is CNET's site. They currently do not having listings for compatible memory modules. So it defeats the purpose of the configurator, in my opinion. I didn't have this pre-run, so I wasn't sure if we were going to get a match or not. Let me select a different model and see if we can get a better result.
They don't have it from any of them. But it doesn't matter. We don't need to. I mean, the point is you can come back and look at this. This is a configurator. It works fairly well. It's straightforward. Granted, we can all see some of the issues that these guys have. For one thing, many people don't know what they have. Now, there is a product that we've been testing for.
It's fast.
For 60 months or 60 days, and I'll tell you what it does. It looks at your computer with your permission, and it tells you what model you have. And then it takes you straight to the page to get it. The downside is you have to okay about a 20-second download. And, you know, that might frighten some people. But when you let it seamlessly, quickly runs through your computer, says, and gives you all the specs in your computer, at which point it's much easier for you to pick the item that you need if that's the type of thing you're shopping for. So you have that, you have that capability. But the bottom line is this. We can improve this process also. Still it works. For many people, much easier than any of the alternatives. And it's a good example of the kind of thinking that might help you as you're thinking through a better way to present your products to your customers. Now, the imagine that you own a widget store that has 28,000 widgets, and they come in a variety of functions, brands, colors. There's 28,000 products. Here's your stats. You've got 46 functional subcategories. And you've got 52 brands of widgets, and you've got 15 colors. A traditional website would put links to all the subcategories somewhere in the left or top nav. It might also include a section with listed the most popular brands, with a text link to the rest of the brands. And the body of the main page of the site would usually feature specials and top sellers, and this would present the customer with close to 100 links to choose from on the same page. But if you created a three-step process by putting your subcategories, brands, and colors in the drop-down list, here is what it would work like. And I'm going to say this to you because I think I can actually just say it, and you'd get it. Step one, what would you like your widget to do? And there's a drop-down list, flying widgets, running widgets, swimming widgets, surfing widgets, marketing widgets. Step two, select a brand, MEC widgets, Google widgets, Overture widgets, and they select. Step three, select a color. Boom. And as soon as they do that, automatically, their choices are presented. You've just eliminated significant confusion. Once the color was selected, step three, either the product would be placed directly in the cart for purchase, did you hear that? Or the customer would be presented with a short list. If the item was reduced to one, put them straight in the cart. By the way, and I've said this before, and I just want to point it out for you, for those of you that are working in any of the comparison engines, consider not driving people from the shopping engines to your product page. Consider driving them straight to the cart, an expanded cart that has the product in it, but nice information about the product, and a pop-up, not a new page, but a pop-up with more information, so that you've eliminated one incredibly essential click and got them ready to buy straight out of the search engine. After all, they pre-qualified themselves. They already identified what they're looking for. They've already looked at the competition. They've already selected you to click on. Get them in your cart. So once the color is selected, or the customer's presented a short list, or he's put straight in the cart. So that's essentially how it works. Basically, in summary, an effective configurator can have a significant impact on your site's conversion ratio by creating a more convenient and easy-to-use product-finding system for your visitors. I'll go so far as to say it has, and so far in my tests, it has consistently the highest conversion ratio of any methodology I've seen thus far on a retail site. And this doesn't mean you couldn't use this in publishing, by the way. It may be quite possible, if you think about it, some of these sites with multiple publications use a series of choices, and there may be a way even in publishing or in archives to help present the proper information in database searching. You can turn a database search into a configurator-driven search, and that could change and simplify the whole process. So your customers are able to find exactly what they're looking for in the shortest amount of time and with minimal effort, and all of this can translate into more sales. Now, I am through this review of this experiment, and I'm getting ready to close out, but I'm going to take your questions in a moment if you have any. But I do want to point out that in addition to sending you these reports, we do an academic review of the existing literature on the subject as part of our experiment's design or as part of our preparation for the report. And so we will be sending you not only the report, but included in it will be a series of links to the best information on the Internet that we can find. And those links are rated in order of, you know, how helpful they are. And it's a subjective rating system, but we think it'll help to save you time. In fact, you might think of it as our configurated literature review for you. And we do that with every report, but you will get the report, the recording, and these literature review of the key links and report research across the net and examples, etc. So we'll be sending that out in a few days. Does anyone have any questions before I close this session out?
I had a quick question.
Sure, go ahead. What's your first name?
My name's Brian.
Okay, Brian, go ahead.
But I was just curious if you had tested out the difference of like putting an email capture at the beginning of the configuration process versus having it at the end.
Yes, actually we have. And the rule, beyond any shadow of a doubt, Brian, is capture the email address as early in the process as you possibly can without hurting your conversion ratio on the order, and you have to test your way into that step.
Okay.
We prefer to get it right at the beginning if at all possible, and that way we can follow up in any orders that aren't completed. And we often recover. I mean, we just did this with a configurated on another site. I can't tell you the site, but we're saving $40,000 a month right now in lost orders.
Thanks.
By getting that email early on. So good, very good question. And you're thinking. Anybody else? All right, I'm going to close this out. I want to thank you again for coming. We did get back our initial data on the long copy versus short copy, but we're doing another data set to make sure that, you know, we have a statistically meaningful sample, and we'll be sharing with you the findings on that, which are quite surprising. In the meantime, I've got two or three new research partners online on this conference. It's good to have you guys, Doug and from your group and Investing Systems. If you want to see a site that's doing exceptionally well with their own version, check out what's that URL, Doug?
Which one?
For your newest investment offering.
That's www.stocksignal.net, stocksignal.net.
These guys are achieving a breadth. You're not going to be blown away with the beauty of the site, but these guys are achieving breathtaking conversion ratios on this page, and they're doing a good job. They have over 87 websites, and we're beginning some new research with them. I just mentioned that so that you might want to take a look at a site with long copy that's doing quite well, and in anticipation of the clinic that's coming up. And also, if you haven't gotten the conference, please don't forget to get in there. We're trying to figure out our totals and we have to book the final rooms here, and we're paying for the hotel rooms for everyone that goes. So get on that, get to our site. Click on the link in your notes or go to the home page and click on the ad and get in. Thank you all for coming.
I have one question for you, Flint.
Yes, yes. First name?
This is Doug. This is Doug from Investing Systems.
Okay.
The question is, I was thinking about taking our product offerings, which, as you know, is quite varied, and
yes.
And setting up a configurator where the home page of the site was pretty much like a Google-like home page, where there is nothing there except for, you know, select from menus.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
we tested
that.
Drop-down box, a newsletter drop-down box, educational products, courses, or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I think it would work in conjunction with the idea of becoming a search engine in your industry.
Right.
And
you know, we have one.
Yeah. Well, I think if you did it in conjunction with that, and then you added just the right commentary, products and tools. You know, if you set it up just right, it could be very effective for you.
Okay, I'm going to consider that.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Well, listen. Thank you again.
Very nice. It's very interesting.
Excellent. I appreciate everyone's help, and I trust this has been helpful for you guys. And we'll keep searching. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye. All right.